Begin the current daf, Mesechtas Baba Kama, daf Mem Aleph. Begin 9 lines down for the top of the Amud. With the Gemara continue with the next Mishnah, the theme of this parak, discussing the halachas of Shor Shenagach, regarding the halachas when the ox gores, the mazik of Karen. So the Mishnah begins, Shor Shenagach es ha'adam v'meis, regarding an ox that gores a person, and the person dies. So Mu'id, Mishalm Kaifer, when it's a Shor, Mu'id already gored 3 times, and now it's goring again. So then the owner of that ox, as we explained in the previous stuff, whose value is it that's paid? Is it the main nizik or is it the main mazik? But the obligation of kaifer rests upon the owner of that shur hamud. Whereas if a tam patam that kaifer, it was a shur tam, it was in his first few times that it gored and it killed a person, then the owner of that ox is not obligated in the penalty of kaifer. But v'zeh v'zeh chayam misa. However, both regarding a shur hamud and even a shur tam, the ox that gored and killed the person is liable for death, because even by a shur tam, the pasuk says, sokol yisokol, the ox has to be stoned for its act of murdering a person. Now continues the Mishnah, v'chein bebein, v'chein bebas, same halacha applies by a minor boy or a minor girl, that if the ox gores and kills that child, then the ox gets stoned, and if it's a mu'id, there's going to be a liability of kaifer, just like by adults. Now, however, nagach evrei om, if the ox gored a slave or a slave woman, then the halacha changes. Nason shleishim slum, as the pasuk says, the obligation on the master of that ox has to give the master of the slave a payment of 30 slum. And that's bein shehu yafa me'amana, that doesn't make a difference for better or for worse, whether if he's worth a lot, 100 mana, or bein she'ena yafa ela dinar echer, even if he's not even worth 30 slum, he's just worth one dinar, it doesn't make a difference. Either way, there's a set amount of an ox goring and killing a slave, is going to be 30 slum. Now, the Gemara asks a very basic question based on the halacha of our Mishnah. You said there's a difference between tam and mu'id in regards to the obligation of paying kaifer. Now, but you said what they share halacha characteristic is that the ox gets stoned. So ask the Gemara, if in the first time an ox gores a person and gets killed, gets stoned, so mu'id hechem mishkachas la, how could you ever have a shur hamu'id to kill a person to obligate the owner in kaifer if the ox already was killed after the first time? So Amar Rabbi explains, Hachamayiskina, what are we talking about over here? Kugun sham duhu l'shleisha b'ni adam. We had evaluated this ox to have already attempted to kill. In other words, we saw this ox running after 3 different people, one after another in different times. Now, they fled from that ox, but it was evaluated. Had they not fled, the ox would have murdered them. So that itself already gives us the characteristic of this shur is a shur hamu'id. It doesn't have to actually murder. It was its attempt that shows us what its true colors are, and therefore becomes a shur hamu'id. And that's how you could have a case of shur hamu'id and paying a kaifer, because it never got stoned, because it never ultimately ended up killing a person. Now, Rav Ashi, I mean, he disagrees. He says, umdinulav klumu, valuation is nothing. It doesn't become a shur hamu'id after we see that it would have killed 3 people. If it didn't, then it's still a shur tam. He says, rather, what are we talking about over here? It's where it mortally wounded 3 people. Now, that's why when it murdered the first 2 people, it didn't get stoned, because they didn't die yet. Now, however, after it gored and murdered the 3rd person, then they all then died. That's why for the 3rd person, when it became a mu'id, then there's going to be a liability of kaifer. But it wasn't stoned because the first ones hadn't died yet, but it ultimately, at that later point, they all then died. That's how it then had become a mu'id to be chayiv in kaifer. Rav Zvirami gives a different interpretation. So he says, kagan jaharik shleisha behemis. It's very simple. The obligation of the animal being killed is only when it kills a human, not when it kills an animal. It killed 3 animals, so it became a shur hamu'id. Now it's a shur hamu'id, now it kills a person, so then there's going to be a liability of kaifer. Now that the Gemara asks, a mu'id la behema have a mu'id la adam? Do you think that if an animal becomes a mu'id, it has developed a normalcy for killing an animal, that's considered mu'id for a person? Oh, a person is much more difficult and much more abnormal for an animal to kill. And therefore, that's not a valuable answer, because although it becomes a mu'id for an animal, that does not make it into a mu'id for adam. It still would be considered tam. And that wouldn't answer the question, how can you ever have a shur mu'id in regards to the liability of kaifer of killing a person? Elam Rav Shimi, rather, Rav Shimi says a different answer. It says, the ox killed 3 non-Jews, where when it kills a non-Jew, it doesn't get the death penalty, it doesn't get stoned, but it developed normalcy for killing a person. Now when it kills a Jew, it's going to be liable for kaifer. And that the Gemara asks similarly, Do you think that a Jew, his shmira is the same as the non-Jew? Because it developed normalcy for killing a non-Jew doesn't mean that it developed the higher standard of being more abnormal of killing a Jew. Ella Amr Shimon ben Lakish, rather, he says, that it had killed three mortally wounded people, meaning they say they had moral defects that they were going to die. So when an ox gores a trefa, a person that's going to die, has a terminal, that's a mortal defect, he killed a dead person essentially, and therefore the animal doesn't get stoned, but it killed three Jewish people, and therefore it developed, it has those characteristics of being a sharmud. Now it would get kafir, but it didn't get stoned for the first three times. Now the Gemara asked the same type of questioning on his interpretation. Umud l'trefa have a mood l'shalom? Do you think that becoming a mood for killing mortal people that have mortal defects is now would make it into a mood for a whole person? Again, these are higher standards where the healthier or more challenging a person or whatever it is to kill, it wouldn't make that into a mood, and therefore it still wouldn't be a viable answer because it wouldn't be a mood for a shalom. Elamar a papa, rather a papa gives a different interpretation. He says, the way you could have a sharm mu'id for killing people, a Jewish person, but the first time it killed a Jewish person, even when there was a time, it would get stoned. How does it ever make it to a mu'id? He explains, the katl va'arik la'agma. It's where the animal killed and then fled to the swamp. Now, this is after they had testified in court regarding this animal, which then becomes liable for the death penalty and starts counting the numbers towards becoming a mu'id. It fled. And then again, the katl va'arik la'agma, it killed and then fled to the swamps. So that's why, although yes, it was supposed to be stoned, but it didn't, then when it gores on the third time, it becomes a sharam mu'ud, not only to become stoned, but actually for the owner to pay the liability of kafir. Ravacha Berida of Ikam, he gives a different interpretation. It says, Kegen shehuzmu zaymei zaymin. The loch of Hazama is that if people, witnesses come to court and they testify, whatever the testimony they're saying, Reuben owes Shimon $1,000. Now, because we saw that Reuben borrowing $1,000 from Shimon on that day. Then a different pair of witnesses come along and say, how can you testify that that's what happened? You with us on that day. You can't be saying the truth. That's how some of the first witnesses then actually are liable for what they wanted to make the defendant liable in the first case. Now, the case we're describing over here is where there were two pairs of witnesses that each individually testified regarding this man's ox having gored someone else, killing a person. Now, however, there then came a different pair of witnesses and said, how can you say that you saw this man's ox goring that person and killing him, and you said that you saw, but you were with us at that time? So therefore, he neutralizes their testimony, actually makes them liable for what they had testified. Now it came along a third pair of witnesses that they testify, again, a third time, that this man's ox gored and killed a person. Now, again came along that same pair of witnesses that was being mazim, that was telling everyone, how could you testify you with us on that day? And they said it to the third pair too. But now came along a different pair of witnesses and says to the ones that were doing hazama all along, to say, how can you say that those witnesses cannot have testified the truth because they were with you? You with us, how can you say that you with them? And they're mazim de mazim. The witnesses that had been doing hazama all along to everyone else, they show that they were the liars. Now, what it comes out retroactively is that the ox is a shor hamud, because up until now, we weren't making the person liable for the death, for stoning this ox for what it had done on the first time and the second time, because every time witnesses came along, this other pair of witnesses were being mazim them, saying then that they weren't, and that we believe hazam, as the Torah says. But now, after the third time, we now have another pair of witnesses that neutralize the people that were being mazim everyone else, because they say, you're the liars, not them. So now it comes out that it was always true. And it had killed on the first time, it had killed the second time. Again, we just didn't kill it. And it killed on the third time. Now, that's why it's a mu'id, and hence, that's why it's going to have a liability for kafir, even though it really should have been murdered there should have been stoned on the first time, the ox, but it didn't because of those hazama ones. But now, retroactively, we know that actually they were saying the truth. And the ones who were being mazim all along, they themselves were huzim now, because they were lying. Now, however, on this answer, Rav Acha Bereder of Ikka, the Gemara asks, Hanicha, this would be very well, Eli Yehuda Tura Be'inan. There's a discussion regarding what is the requirement that the Pasuk says for 3 days that to develop into a Shehamud. Where is it, as the Gemara is saying, Li Yehuda Tura, is to say that must be the, this is the characteristic of the shayer that it gored one day, gored a second day, gored a third day. This is an ox that gores. It's not abnormal for the gore. It's normal, and that's why it's chayiv nezek shalem. So shaper, if that's the reason why we require three times to become a shayer hamu'ud, is to say that the ox is a mu'ud, that it was warned in regards to its intrinsic quality, its character. So now we know that that's actually what happened. It had gored three times in three different days. Now, although it was only verified ultimately by the last group of witnesses that came after all these witnesses, it doesn't make a difference to us because we know that it's a sharmud, and therefore it's going to have the liability of a sharmud of kaifer. But if the reason why the Torah requires three different days to become a sharmud is not for the testimony regarding the ox, that is character. It's rather the testimony regarding the man, the owner of the ox, to say that you were warned. One time it gored, we warned you. Two times, three times, now you're really negligent. You should have really taken ultimate precautions. You didn't. Now it has the halach of sharamud, and you're going to be chayef nezek shalom. If that is the reason for the halach of sharamud, well then how do we understand Rav Acha Ber Davika's interpretation of this case? Mei ma'amar lei lo havyadana. Then the owner could say, I didn't know regarding the first two times that it had killed a person to watch it, because this guy had said that these witnesses were lying. So how does it help now that retroactively, oh, we know that they were, that this one peer and the other peers were saying the truth? I didn't know that. So now, okay, now I know. It's only the first time that I'm hearing about this. So why, according to that, if that's the reason of Liyudi Gavra, then how does it help to become a Shar Hamu'id of being liable for Kaifer if it's the first that he heard about it? So the Gemara answers, Kagoyin de Amri, the case would be talking about where that they said, meaning the ones who are mazim all along, the ones that were saying, how could you say that you saw this man's ox kill that person, you with us? They testified that kol emas de kotl ture, whenever that it was said that the ox had killed a person, gabe havakoi, they said that the owner was with the ox. And therefore, he saw everything that happened with the ox. In other words, he knows the truth. He saw that it had gored on those first three times. It's just that in court, they exempted him. But there was a testimony, and he knew about it. And therefore, now retroactively, when the truth is revealed that the testimony was true testimony, he already knew about that. And that's why he would be liable now for the halacha of kaifer, having murdered a person after it became a shor hamu'ud. But again, you could have the case of not having the stone, not having been stoned as a shor tam already on the first time, because of this halacha of hazama, which only retroactively was undone. Or the Gemara says another approach for this question, Ravina Amma, he says, you could have such a case of the ox not having been stoned on the first two times that it killed the person, where, for example, that the witnesses who they said the testimony regarding the first two times, that they were b'makirin es bal hashar. They only recognize the owner of the ox, but they didn't recognize the actual ox itself. We couldn't stone the ox because I had a whole bunch of oxen. And one of them gored a person and killed him. And then the second time, and then on the third time, by the third time, they recognized, oh, now we know that this was that ox. But all along, they didn't know. So since they didn't know, they couldn't stone the ox. But now that they know, now that not only are they going to stone the ox, but now there's also going to be a liability of kaifer for having murdered as a shor hamu'ud. Now the Gemara asked, however, on this interpretation of Ravina, but if that's the case, so my havalei, then what should the owners have lemevid? What should they have done? I don't understand. Why are you making him liable for kaifer? The kaifer is, as we said, because he has a responsibility. You knew that you had the shor hamu'ud, and you didn't watch it once, twice, three times. Now it's a shor hamu'ud, yichayev nezek shalom, yichayev if it murders a person, kaifer. But the question is, he didn't know which one it was. So how should you hold him liable for the halach of kaifer? I think Mar says, Mishum the Amrili, because they tell him, Tur nagchana islach bebakarach. We don't know which one it is. But you got a goring type of an ox in your cattle. Iboilach neturi kulabakarach. You have to watch all your cattle. You have the responsibility. The onus is on you. You know for sure one of them. We don't know which one it is. We only found that after the third time, and that's where it's going to get stoned, and there's going to be a liability of kaifer. But one of them is, and therefore, that is an onus of that's on him. And therefore, if it ultimately ends up goring three times, that's when there's going to be a liability of kaifer. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, v'zeh v'zeh chayav en misa b'chulu. Now both of them, not just the mu'ud, but even the tam, is also chayav misa, it gets stoned. Now, etc., where Tanya Banu Lina Braisa that elaborates on this pasuk that is the source for the halacha of the ox getting stoned, not just as we said, a shar mu'ud, but even a shar tam. The Brisa says, Mimashma shenema, from the fact that the Pasuk says in Shemais, Sokol yisokol ha'shar, the ox gets stoned. Again, as we said, this is the halacha that's the source for our Mishnah, that in all situations, whether it's a shar mu'ud or a shar tam, so the question then is, Eini yideish neveilehi, don't I know an ox that's stoned wasn't slaughtered, it gets stoned, it gets thrown down and the rocks are thrown at it, so that's a dead animal carcass. So, and we know b'nevela asa b'achila, we know that a dead animal carcass that wasn't properly slaughtered is forbidden to eat. It's treif, it's not kosher. So then ask the b'raisa, matam eloim lo yuchles b'sois, and what does the pasuk teach us when it says, you're not allowed to eat its flesh? Of course not, it's stoned. It's stoned, it wasn't shechter, it wasn't slaughtered. What does the pasuk need to tell me that you can't eat from its meat? So therefore it says the b'raisa, magilacha akasa, must be the pasuk is coming to teach you a different halacha. Shim shachtoi la'achar shenigmer dina, that if it was slaughtered after the verdict was pronounced, this ox has to be stoned, it killed a person, we have witnesses, the deal is done. But before they got a chance to stone it, the owner quickly went and made a bracha and slaughtered the animal, so it is kosher. That's what the pasuk is teaching you, know, aser ba'achila, that it's forbidden to be eaten. And the way you interpret the pasuk is, from the moment that the shur comes to the halachic status of sukkel yisukkel, that's what the pasuk is saying, now it's already going to be lo yochalis b'sar, you can't eat its meat, even if it was slaughtered before it was stoned. Now continues the Brisa even more than that. Inli ilav achila, I would only know that it's forbidden to be eaten. But no minayin, how do we know that this shar niskal, the ox that's supposed to be stoned, whether it's stoned or if it wasn't, whatever it is, once the verdict is pronounced, that it's forbidden to be eaten, how do we know it's even forbidden to get any benefit whatsoever from it? Tamalayma, that's what the Pasuk teaches over there, uval hashar naki, that the owner of the ox is clean. My mashma, explains the Brisa, what does that mean? How do we see Isra Hana? Shimon ben Zayim Omer, he says, Ka'adam Shem Lechaveri, like a person that tells his friend, Yatze ish plaini nakim in the chasid, that person has left clean from his assets, ve'ein lebehem anosha klum, and he has no benefit whatsoever from it. In other words, as the common phrase is, he was cleaned out, he has nothing from it, he gets no benefit from this ox, he can't sell it, he can't do anything with it. That's where we see that there's Isra Hana on the Shar HaNiskel too. That's the Brisa. Asks the Gemara, Umimagdalo Yoicheles Besari, from where does the Brisa see? How do they know that when it says in the pasuk you're not allowed to eat its meat, it's lahecha de shachtoi achar shenigmer dinei sha'asa b'achila, that it's coming to say, as the Brisa had said, for when it was slaughtered after the verdict, before it was stoned, that it's forbidden to be eaten, because we said, how else are we going to explain the pasuk? Of course it's forbidden to be eaten, it's stoned, it's in the vela. And then the Gemara says, what do you mean? Eima, I could tell you a different interpretation. Dehecha de shachtoi la'achar shenigmer dinei, that actually, if you had slaughtered it after the verdict, I could tell you shar b'achilo. Maybe it actually would be permitted to be eaten. It's only that because it was slaughtered. Now, then what does the pasuk then mean to say when it says that you're not allowed to eat its meat? That is lahecha desakli miskal. That's actually for when it was stoned. Now, the question is, that we said, what do you mean? You don't need to tell me it's forbidden to be eaten when it was stoned. It's in the veil. On that, asked the Gemara, I could tell you that the wording of lo yoichel, that you're not allowed to eat it, it's not actually coming to tell you you're not allowed to eat it. Of course you can't eat it. It's nevela, it's a dead animal carcass. But actually it's coming to tell you the asr bahanahu, it's coming to tell you that it's forbidden to get any benefit from it. What do you mean? It says you can't eat it. Where do you see benefit? That's Kedre Bavo. That's what Kedre Bavo says. Now, more of a Rashi adds on, what you would have to say is, then, although the Brisa said that you know the isr hanah from Ubala Sharnaki, that you would have to give for a different drasha, as the Gemara on Amud Beis and going on to the next daf learns out for different halachas, whether for half a kefir being exempt or for the Dmei Vladis, as we'll see, there are other ways to interpret the words of Bala Sharnaki. So you could explain Bala Sharnaki otherwise, and therefore ask the Gemara, you could actually learn Lo Yechel, telling you the Isser of Hana. And therefore, maybe actually if you shechted it, it would be kosher, you would be able to eat it. What do you see? Because the Amr Bavo Amr Balaz, like Rabbi Bavo had said a name of Balazim, whenever it says in the Torah these words, you can't eat, you shouldn't eat it. Actually, the word not eating it doesn't mean just you can't eat it, literally consuming it with your mouth. It means you can't get any benefit from it whatsoever. Until the Torah specifies explicitly, as it's specified regarding a dead animal carcass, where the Torah came to tell you that there is permissibility regarding benefit, because there the pasuk tells you, loy toichel. It says, you're not allowed to eat it. Now, yet in spite of that, so if it says you're just not allowed to eat it, so okay, not eat, but I wouldn't know that you're not allowed to have any benefit. But yet still the Torah has to tell you over there, and that's where Bavo's proof, that it's permissible to have benefit from it. It says lager asher b'sharecha, which the Torah teaches you lager b'nesina, that for the resident convert you're allowed to give to him, u'la'ibit kachavim b'mechira, for a non-Jew you're allowed to sell to him, which, that what I have to say, you can have benefit from it. It only says you're not allowed to eat it. Oh, it must be that really that there is an isser to eat it, and moreover, that there's even isser hana, because that's why the Torah has to then tell you that you're allowed to have hana. Because if it wouldn't, so why do I need to tell you you're allowed to? So it must be that the term lo yoichel means not only not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to have hana, until the Torah specifies like it did by Nevela. If that's the case, so maybe that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us by lo yoichel, that you're not allowed to eat it, lo yoichel es besare, is to tell you not that you're not allowed to eat it, of course, in Nevela, but you're not allowed to have hana from it. So how does the Braisa know that it's coming to tell you even for when you shechted it, when you slaughtered it before it was stoned? So the Gemara answers, the Amri, they said no. Hanemili, when did we say that the Torah will tell you in Isra Hano in the terminology of achila, of eating? That's heichad enoughically Isra achila v'Isra Hano mikra meloyoichel. That's only when the term of loyoichel in the Torah, wherever it is, would be teaching you both an Isra of eating and an Isra of Hano, where once it's teaching you that you're not allowed to eat it, we include in it also the prohibition of having benefit from it too. And it would be included in the term of not eating. Aval hacha the isra achila misokel yisokel nafka. But here, where we explained before, the prohibition of eating the stoned ox is already known from the words in the pasuk that you stone it, because once you stone it, it's nevela. So of course you can't eat it. Now, isokel daitech hayla yochel es besare. Now, if you were entertained to say that when the pasuk then continues and says that you nalada yochel es besare, you can't be eat its flesh, that isra anohu, that it would only be teaching you regarding the prohibition of having benefit from it, because again, eating I already know from sokel yisokel, then nechtev rechman alo yahana, then the Torah should have just written an explicit terminology, you can't benefit from it. When it's telling you in isra achila, okay, so then we include in it, under that umbrella, the isra anohu doesn't specify oso hana, as Rabbi Vav proved. But if it's not even telling you lo yoichel, that we're reading from sokel yisokel, then you wouldn't say isra no in the words lo yoichel. You would say explicitly lo yahana, and that's why it can't be referring to, as the Gemara had asked, just to isra no, and must be teaching like the halacha of the Braisa. Or inami, another approach the Gemara gives to answer the question is, because even according to you, that you're trying to say that, okay, even if, let's say, the word lo yoichel on its own would mean an isra no, still it would be difficult the way you're asking. Because let the Torah write lo yoichel, that you can't eat, and that's it. Shouldn't have said more words. Es besarei lamali, why does the Torah need you to say you can't eat its flesh? What is that coming to add? You can't eat. Of course you can't. What are you eating? You can't eat the meat. Rather, it must be that it's coming to tell us the avagav de avde kein baser de shachtei. It must be, says the Gemara, exactly like the way the Braisa had explained it. That even if you had made it kosher, meaning you had made it like slaughtered meat, which is es besarai, still that's what the Torah is coming to teach you, that also that it's forbidden to both eat it, even though you had shechted it, and to derive benefit from it. Where now that definitely makes more sense, as we had said, because now the pasuk, yes, it utilized the term of lo yechel, because it's actually coming to teach you two things, not just hana, but also the isra of achila, even though you had shechted it, and that's why it's as the Braisa had interpreted. But now that we have resolved the halacha of the Braisa, still the Gemara asks, Maskevila Mar Zutra. It says, Eima Hanimili, let's say regarding this drasha of the Braisa and the Pasei, that when did we say that it's the meat of the shar that was shar haniskel, which wasn't stoned yet, but the verdict was pronounced, and the owner goes and slaughters it, that we're saying it's going to be usher to eat it and have a gnaw, even though it was slaughtered. Ask Mar Zutra, maybe when did we say this as we continue to Tamid Beis? That's Hecha Debadak Tzur, Beshachet, by where you checked a rock, made sure it didn't have any nicks, and it was clean, it was flat, meaning as you have to have for slaughtering, and you slaughtered with it. Now, the Avde Ke'en Skila, where you did like a stoning of the animal, because the way you slaughtered it was with a stone. And maybe that's where we said the halacha, that even though you slaughtered it, it's going to be usher, because it's a little bit like stoning over there. Now, so that will be included in the Isra of Sakal Yisakal, where then it's an Isra to eat it. Aval Hecha Deshachte Besakan Loi, but maybe if you slaughter it with a regular ritual, you take a knife, and then, maybe then it's not going to be Asr B'Achila, maybe that's not included in this drasha of saying that it's Asr and Achila Hanana, even though you shechted before it was stoned. Tosh the Gemara ends, Amri, they said, Atu Sakin Ksiva by Raisa, what do you think, a knife? Shechita, slaughtering, you think it says in the Torah that you have to slaughter with a knife? To say that as if you slaughter with a knife, it's considered more appropriate than slaughtering with a rock? why would we think to differentiate and say that the iser of shechting it would only be with a rock and not with a knife? Because Vatsnama, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Chulin that it doesn't make a difference what you slaughter with. Hashech b'magal yad, if someone slaughters it with a scythe, or some type of a hand sickle, or bitzer, with a rock, or bakana, with a reed, shechitas kasher, as long as you make sure that it's smooth, and you can give him one slice and you slaughtered it. So it's a kosher shechita, and therefore the question doesn't stand, because it wouldn't make a difference how you slaughtered it. If you slaughtered it, it's the same thing, and therefore if we have such a drasha that shechita of the verdict, shar haniskel, is asa b'chila, no, it would be in always, not just with a rock. Now, however, the Gemara continues, but now, as the Gemara just said before from Bavo, that we know that there's a prohibition of eating it and having benefit from it, all just from the words of lo yecheles besarai. In other words, where even if you slaughtered it, and for sure when it was stoned, as Bavo had said, the word lo yechel incorporates not just the prohibition of eating, but even of having benefit. Well, then the question becomes, according to that interpretation, Bal Hashar Noki Lomali. Then why do we need the terminology of Bal Hashar Noki? We had said from Shimon ben Zayma that that teaching you an Isra of Hana, where the man is cleaned out, you can't have any benefit. But according to Bavo, you already know that from the word of Lo Yechel. What do you need Bal Hashar Noki for? So that the Gemara says, Lahanos Ayre. That's coming to teach the prohibition of even the benefit of the animal's hide. Because the Sagatai Techamina, I would have thought to say, Besari Huda Asabana, it's only the flesh, the meat that's prohibited to have benefit, because that's what the Pasuk there is talking about. Layichel es Besari. Aval Oiroi Nishri Bano, but I would think to say that the hide would be permitted to have benefit from it. Kamash Malon, Balashar Noki, that's what it's teaching you, that he's totally cleaned out, that there's an Isra Bano, not just on the meat, but even on the hide. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Ulahanach Tanoi, but according to those other Tanoi, that they utilize these words in the pasuk of the owner of the ox is naki, is clean, for a different drasha, like the Gemara is going to say later on this amid and on the next daf, that they use it for other drashas. So hanos ayrimanolahu, where do they know this halacha of the prohibition of benefit of the hide? Because they don't know it from balashar naki, because they use it for other drashas. So the Gemara says nafkalahu me'es besari. They learned it out from the words where it says, lo yechel es besari. It doesn't say lo yechel besari. It says you shouldn't eat es besari. Where, what does es come to say? You already know that without the word es. So the word es is a ribui. It's inclusionary term. It's coming to add something more, something secondary to what we're talking about, which is es hatafel besari, which is what's secondary to the flesh. My knee, what is that? That's oirei, that's the hide, that's secondary to the flesh, to the meat. That's where you see that the itzer of hana applies not just to the meat, but also to the hide. Now, however, the Gemara says, but v'hai tana, the tana, the brisa that we were just mentioning before, that doesn't learn it from es, but rather, as we said, learns it out from ubala sharnaki, that comes to teach you the isra of hana on oirei, es leidarish. He doesn't expound the terms es to include something else to say that that's the source for the halacha of isra hana on the oirei. Because the time, like, learned the brisa that Nehemiah stopped and he removed himself from expounding the words es to include other things. As we learned in the Braisa, Shimon HaMasaini, Vamrilan Samsi was Nehemiah HaMasaini, Hayadurish Kol Es and Shabbat Torah, he would expound every word in the Torah that says es. Because the word es, the, and the word gam, also, are ribuyan. They're inclusionary terms. They're coming to add on more. So every time he came to such a word, es besarai, whatever the word was saying with the word es, where it's adding on something more, he would include something there. But kivin shegila es Hashem lekechatiro, once he got to the pasuk in the Torah in Devar that says, and Hashem, your God, you should fear, pirish, he removed himself. He didn't know what to include. How could you include someone in fearing like Hashem? What more could be included besides Hashem? So Amar Leih Talmidav, so his student said to him, Rebbe, teacher, kol esen shederash to matei len. What are you going to do with all the esen? Up until the Sefer Devarim, you were going and going. You had all these different halachas you included secondary to what it was. Now that you're stopping because you're saying, how could I say es means to come to include? Nothing could include in the fear of Hashem. What are you going to do with all those previous esen? So Amar Lehem, so Nehemiah said to them, k'shem shekibalti ischar al adrisha, just like I received reward for expounding those esen, kach kibalti ischar al aprisha, so too I will receive reward for removing myself, because that I'm showing deference, I'm showing that this is the truth by not expounding them, because I see that you can't, as we see from Esther Shem Lekechatira. But however, the Brisa tells us, and that would be the Tana of this Brisa, that doesn't learn it out from Es Besar, rather from Balashar Naki. But the Braisa continues, it says, Achaba Rabbi Kiva Valimit. Until Rabbi Kiva came along and he taught, Es Hashem Lekechatira, what is the word Es? Yes, secondary, coming to include in the fear of God. L'rabbis Tamid HaChacham. It's coming to include Talmudic scholars that Meir Rabbach Kamer Shemaim, you have to fear your teacher the way you would fear the heaven, fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara continues with many different Bryce's interpretations, as we said, that there are many different interpretations of what does it mean, Nuval HaShar Naki. So turn the button, Linda Bryce. The Pasuk says, after the ox that gored and killed the person, it says, Uval HaShar Naki, and the owner of the ox is Naki, is clean. As we'll see, there's many different interpretations of what does that mean. We had said previously it means that he's cleaned out, that there's an Issa Hano, even on the hide of the Shar Haniskob, the Shar Hamud that gets stoned, of the ox that has to get killed. Now, Rabbi Eliezer Eimer, he says that the words of Bala Shar Naki is in regards to Asher Tam, where we said that the ox gets killed, like that says in the Pasuk, Saki Yisokal, it's even on the Asher Tam. But it says, Uvala Shar Naki, he interprets Naki actually as a benefit for the owner, which means say he's cleansed, meaning Naki Michatzi Kaifer. He's clean, he's pure, he's refined from the obligation of paying half of Kaifer. In other words, we don't say that just like when it's a Shar Amud, it pays Nezik Shalom. When it's a Shar Tam, it pays Chatzi Nezik. So too, you would think to say that when it's a Mood, we said the owner pays Kaifer. So too, when it's a Tam and it kills a person, the owner would have to pay Chatzi Kaifer. And that is what, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Pasuk is telling you. No, he's Naki in this case of a Shar Tam, that he doesn't have to pay half the amount of the person that was killed. Now, on that, Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Eliezer, that why would you say that that's what the Pasuk is saying? It's obvious that the owner of the Shar Tam that killed a person would be exempt from Kaifer. Because v'haloi, if it would be like you're saying, that there would be an option of saying that he would be liable, and that's what you need the pasuk to say that he's exempt. But who atzmai ein mishtalim el magufai, the whole halach of a shor tam, the payments could only be collected, as we said up until now, from the body of the shor tam itself. Now, this ox that killed a person, as we said, even when the tam, he gets stoned. So where would you collect the chatzi kaifer from, To say that you need a pasuk to say that he's going to be exempt, when the ox that gets stoned, we said, is totally asa b'hano. Let the owners would then just tell the damaged party, hiviyuhu lebezin v'shamloch, bring it to court and you'll collect from the shor tam. But you can't. It gets stoned even on the first time. So how can you say that would be an obligation of chatzi kaifer to say that the pasuk is exempting? There can't be, because the all collection of a shor tam is only from the body itself, and the body is nothing to collect from. So Amali Rabbi Eliezer responded to Rabbi Kiva. He says, "Kach ani beinecha? That's how I am in your eyes. That's what you think of me when you're asking me that question. Shedini bezesh chayiv misa, that I was told about a case when there was a death penalty, meaning that the ox was going to be stoned. Of course, that wouldn't make sense for me to say that there's an exemption. There wouldn't be a liability in the first place. Ein dini, my whole drasha that I'm making is only elikishahemes esa adam al pi eid echad oy al pi bailam. That it's only talking about when we know that he killed a person either through the testimony of a lone witness or by the admission of the owners, where then, of course, he doesn't get stoned in that situation. But I would say that there would still be the liabilities of monetary payment. That's why you need to have a pasuk that you would think, okay, so too, that the guy admits, or there's a eid echad, so okay, you got to pay up the damages, which is chatzi nezik. So you would think that it would so too, if he kills a person, would be chatzi kaifer. That's where I was saying mahalacha, that there is an exemption from even chatzi kaifer from a bala sharnaki. Now the Gemara asks, al pi bailam? What do you mean? How is this a valid answer that Rabbi Eliezer is giving? Based in the testimony of the owners? But ma'id b'knasu. Well, he's admitting to a halacha of knas, which is what the halacha of a shor tam is, where it's only chatzi, and that's not the amount of the actual monetary damage, and that he's going to be exempt. So therefore, just like there's an exemption from the ox being killed, so too there's an exemption from kaifer. So then the question is really back under Rabbi Eliezer, what do you need a pasuk for? Now, as Rashi points out, the Gemara could have also asked from the other case, not through the admission of the owner, could have said a case when the eid echad, there is also obvious that he's going to be exempt, even from the monetary payments, meaning from chatzi kaifer, because you only have a chiyuv through shtei eidim, two witnesses, not through one witness. So therefore, what's Rabbi Eliezer answering by saying, oh, that you would think that there would be, and even though he's not being killed by eid echad al pi bailam, no, there's no monetary payment either by the admission of the owners or the testimony of one witness. So I think my answer is ksava kufr kapara. No, Rabbi Eliezer holds that the kaifer obligation is for an atonement. And therefore, had we not had a Bala Sharnaki to exempt the owner of the Sher Tam from killing a person, B'chatzi Kaifer, we would have thought to say that he would be liable, whether through the testimony of one witness or through his own admission, just that he could have an atonement, because we know it requires an atonement. That, it's for such a case that we say, no, you don't need an atonement. There is no halacha of chatzi kaifer by a Sher Tam. That's one version of the discussion. Tanidach, we learn another braisa, that Amr B'liezer, B'liezer gave a different response. He says, Akiva kachani benecha, that's how I am in your eyes? Shadini b'zeh shechayv misa, that you thought I was talking about a case when the ox is going to be stoned, let's say it was through two witnesses, and that, of course, then it doesn't make sense to have chatzi kaifer, because you can only collect from the body of the animal, and it's dead, and there's isana. Says Rabbi Eliezer, no. Ain dini ila b'meskaven l'hargas ha-behem of argas ha-adam. The case I was talking about was when the animal intended to kill an animal and ended up killing a person. Or l'mitzi v'harg Yisrael intended to kill a non-Jew and killed a Jew. Or l'nefalim v'harg ben kayama, where it intended to kill a non-viable child and killed a viable child. Where then, as the Mishnah will teach us later on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, there is an exemption from the animal of being stoned. But we would still think to say, since we have witnesses testifying that there would be a liability of the monetary payment, which is of chatzi kaifer, it was for such a case, Rabbi Eliezer says, that's where I need you to say that halacha bala sharnaki, although the animal is around, he's not getting stoned, there is no liability of chatzi kaifer. Now the Gemara says, we have these two different versions of what Rabbi Eliezer responded to Rabbi Akiva, hi arma liberesha. Which one of these responses did he say first? So it's actually machlekes. Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rava Amar, he says, Miskaven Amalei Bereisha. It's actually the second Braisa that he intended for one type that he wouldn't be liable for, and he ended up killing a regular viable Jew. That's the one that he said first, where there's no skila, and therefore you need to say there's an exemption of Chatzi Kaifer. Rav Tabyumi Mishmei de Rava Amar, he says, no, actually the first Braisa, Hamis Amalei Bereisha, when it killed through the testimony of one witness or of the admission of the owner, that's the one that he said first. Now, the Gemara explains the reasoning for each interpretation, what was the sequence of Rabbi Eliezer's responses. Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rava Amar Miskaven Amalei Bereisha, he said that the first response Rabbi Eliezer gave was the second Braisa, which is the greater of the two proofs that Rabbi Eliezer has to explain his halacha, where for such a case you definitely need a pasuk, because that would definitely be with the testimony of two witnesses to have a liability of whatever monetary damages, which includes chatzi kaifer, and the animal is not going to be stolen because, again, you didn't intend for the viable Jew. But, however, regarding the first braisa, when, as Rabbi Eliezer had said, that the testimony was only through an eid echad or through the owners, that's a smaller proof. Because there you could ask, as the Gemara did ask, although there was an answer, but that's what's called a deichik, where you have to say that he holds kufr kapara, where there was a question on that, where we could say that, what do you mean? Maidu b'kanas pater. Or, for example, by the case of the eid echad, of course it's obvious that he's not going to be chayiv, even chatzi kaifer, because you need two witnesses to extract money. But I would tell you, even actually regarding a muid, when you have eid echad or al pi bailim, it would also be pater. And therefore, it's not such a great proof. Why would it be that you would need to have a pasuk to say by tam that you're going to be exempt for chatzi kaifer? So, that's what the Gemara explains. That would be compared to a fisherman that's catching fish from the sea. Whereas we continue on top of Membezim and Aleph, Mishakech, Ravravi, when he first finds large fish, so Shakel, he takes them. Then when he finds Zutru, and he finds smaller fish, Shakel, he takes it too. In other words, according to this interpretation of the response of Rabbi Eliezer, it was the same thing, where although he already said first the larger proof, which was the one that was definitely a case where you would have to exempt chatzi kaifer for, still when he found the smaller proof, he said that too, where although it's not such a great proof, but okay, small fish, I'll take that too, which was the case of al-pi eid echad or al-pi hoidos bailam. Whereas Rav Tavyumi, Mishmei de Rava Amar, he says, hey, Mr. Maliberesha, actually the first one was the smaller proof, the one about which wasn't really such a great proof, because what do you mean? Pi eid echad, pi bailam, what do you mean? There's not even an obligation even by mood in such a case. So, of course, you'd be exempt. Why do you need a pasuk for? Where, again, although Rabbi Eliezer answered that, but it still wasn't the better proof, which he says it, that was the first one that he said, and then he said the bigger proof, the one of Miskaven, which is Mashal Litzayit Shashayla Dogam Nayam, that could be compared to a fisherman, a trapper, that catches fish from the sea. Meshakeach Zuchi, when he finds first a small fish, Shakel, he takes it. He thinks maybe I'm not going to find anything bigger. But when then later Mishakech Rav Revi, he finds large fish and he doesn't have a bucket big enough to hold all of them, so Shadi Zutri Bishakel Rav Revi, then he throws away the small one and he takes the big one here also. According to this interpretation, he first told him the answer of Hamas, the first brisa, because he didn't yet know a better response for Rebbe Kiva to say, what do you mean, why do you need a pasuk to exclude it? There wouldn't be any liability because it's getting killed anyway. And he said the one of Hamas, which wasn't so great. Then when he found the other one of Miskaven, then he let go of the first one because he didn't need that. And as Mefarshim explained, there's actually halachic relevance for this discrepancy, which is it both answers or is it that he said, no, actually, it's not like the first way I said it. It's only like the second way, like I said it. That's the case that it's talking about, that you need to have an exemption from a Bala Sharnaki of a Tam being exempt from, when he kills a person, of Chatzi Kaifer.